you look at where they're at four. If it's not Jeremiah Love, is it a little bit early on one of the wide receivers like Carnell Tate from Ohio State or Mekhi Lemon from USC? Do they see something in their offensive line that we don't, to where maybe they would say, okay, let's go with, you know, a Spencer Fano from Utah or a Monroe Freeling or Caden Proctor? Maybe they think they need to go that route, but they have JC Latham and they have some other guys up front that they've invested in. So it really also gets to that point of, like, logically, you're either quote unquote reaching for Jeremiah Love because he's a running back, or you're looking at other non-premium positions like Sonny Styles, who's a linebacker from Ohio State, or Caleb Downs, a safety from Ohio State. So I go back to Love as the best player in this class, in my opinion, and they have a need there. Why not help out your guy in Cam Ward and give him this dynamic, rare running back prospect that can help put that offense over the top?
It makes sense.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast, MCA Live. We are live, folks. Come on in. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey. And joining me, as always, the managing editor of Titan Size, publisher of NFL Draft on SI, and an extremely busy man this time of year, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, what's going on today?
Doing well. Yes, I'm firing off some information about a prospect right now, so bear with me as I'm on the cell phone. But we are live and we are on time, 10:30 a.m. Central every Friday. The intro music hits with chills. The welcome everybody hits you with chills. The doing well hits you with chills. And yes, I am the yada yada king, and we are live on this Friday. Very special weekly edition of the Music City Audible podcast.
That's right. 13 days till round one of the NFL draft begins, and we are counting them down. Justin, today we're going to do some mock drafts. We've been doing mock drafts. We've been doing trade scenarios. We've been discussing options on day two that we like. We've been debating the fourth overall pick ad nauseum for weeks. We're going to combine all of it together today. I'll do a mock draft. You do a mock draft. I might go crazy with trades. You don't want to go crazy with trades because you want to do something that's more realistic. For me, even like doing a lot of trades in one mock isn't even about like what the final mock looks like, because it would be crazy unrealistic with like 14 picks or something. But just like, what are the potential moves in every round that you could trade, and who would be on the board after you make those trades, and what kind of roster could you assemble if you did trade back basically every time you were on the clock? So that's kind of where my approach today. I think you're going to take a more realistic, air quote, approach to the mock draft, but we can run scenario after scenario. If somebody goes off the board that we wanted to talk about, we just restart the thing. We have no rules that we have to follow. This is our show, and we're going to do as many mock draft scenarios as time allows today, Justin. So how do you want to get started? Do you have anything else you want to comment on before we get into it? Should we talk about the Matt Miller report that came out this morning that the Titans, that the pick he is most sure of after Fernando Mendoza to the Raiders is Jeremiah Love to the Titans? We don't have to talk about that. I just thought, you know, it's worth sharing that with our audience, don't you think?
Can talk about it if you'd like. I will add a couple tidbits. Today is the Titans' local pro day workout, so that's very notable. I know, some of the guys there, Tyree West, the defensive lineman from the University of Tennessee, had a pretty nice season this past year. The big one that I reported yesterday, I think by far the best prospect in attendance, is Stanford tight end Sam Roush. Super athletic at the combine, ran at 4.70 at like 6'6", 265, 10-inch hands. One of the best inline blockers in the class, super athletic, more room to explore the pass casting potential. He had 550 receiving yards in a bad passing offense last year. That is Stanford. So Sam Roush is the best one there. I tweeted a screenshot that Jordan Vanderberg, a defensive tackle out of Georgia Tech, posted a screen cap of him at the Titans facility. I assume that's for a visit. One of our good pals on this show, J_O with multiple H's, brought up a good point. Oh, today's the local day. Could he be there? I don't think so for that, because it didn't look like I could find any connection locally. Like, he's from Johannesburg, South Africa. He went to Georgia Tech. I think before Georgia Tech, he went to like Penn State and a JUCO that's not in the Tennessee area. So I couldn't find a local connection that would make him qualify for the local day, but maybe I missed one. That is about it. And we do have a nice and early super chat tip.
Oh my goodness gracious.
The new sound drop for, can you hit it again? I think I talked over the part of it.
I'll hit it again in a moment, Justin. We got a good reason to hit it again. But yes, that is a new treat for our audience. Anytime we get a super chat, you get to hear that sound. So if you like hearing it, super chat. If you don't like hearing it, I apologize. We're going to play that now. That's our new thing.
That Inspector- was phenomenal. I only thought there was one, but there's two. So I'll let you play it again in a second. Second one comes in here from Inspector Callahan. Super generous. $4.99 super chat tip. Enjoy your weekend, fellas. Go sit down, crack a cold one, and watch Dirty Harry. Tying up from LA, I'm definitely having a beer tonight. I cannot wait for that. It's the end of Friday ritual for me. Thanks a lot, Inspector Callahan. Graver?
Oh my goodness gracious.
I absolutely love it. The $4.99 super chat tip from Jesse Jones, 1471. Think I'm losing the plot because I want love no matter what. From him to the next best offensive weapon is Canyon Wide. Love the Justins. Love equals better than edges. Thank you for the super chat tip, Jesse. This might be a great comment for you to talk about the Matt Miller, Jeremiah Love report.
Well, yeah, I mean, Matt Miller just talking about how he's confident that the Titans are going to have their sights set on helping Cam Ward. The clip I played at the top of the show is from his Rich Eisen appearance a few days ago, where Rich was basically like, hey, you know, Adam Schefter said that this isn't going to happen, but you're still mocking it. Why are you so confident? And he was like, well, you know, Adam Schefter gets a lot of great intel, but it's lying season. So where did that intel come from? I don't know. I just got to go with what I see when I watch the tape, with what I hear when I talk to people around the league, and I still believe Jeremiah Love is the Titans pick. We got another one, Justin, from Dalen. $5 super chat. Oh my goodness gracious.
And this is all he wants. He just wants the sound. He says, just play it.
And we have another one, Justin, from Gary Soto. A $50 super chat. Oh my goodness gracious. He says, do you think the Titans make a move for a veteran, maybe flip a day three pick for a guard? Is there a specific veteran you'd target or at least call about? What would you do if you were in their position?
Well, this is a great question, Gary, and thank you so much for the very generous super chat tip.
Goodness gracious.
Gary deserves to hear it more than once, and he deserves to have his question answered with a thorough, in-depth answer. So I'm still pro re-sign Kevin Zeitler, of course. Regarding the trade market opportunities, the one call that I would absolutely make would be to the Las Vegas Raiders, a rebuilding team. I really like Jackson Powers Johnson, you know, the center out of Oregon. If you're not following the Raiders, Pete Carroll totally butchered his development last year by moving him to guard, when I think he's a far better center than guard. Now, I think that Clint Kubiak, their new head coach, is probably smarter than that and wants to keep him. But he's, you know, his contract is coming up at some point relatively soon. So based on how weird his year went with the Raiders last year, I would absolutely make that phone call. I'm a big fan of Jackson Powers Johnson, and I think he'd be plug and play on this Titans line. If I was in their position, to answer your question, Gary, I would make that call.
Yeah. Well, another question coming in here from Jake Aslandogood. Quick one. I had a thought last night about Inez Cooper after watching the video of him with Cam Ward when he got drafted, his right guard in college. Thoughts? I mean, bring him in. I don't think you need to spend a pick on Inez Cooper just based on where he's ranked on those consensus boards right now. He's in like the 300s. So if you want to reunite him with Cam Ward and take a chance on somebody in the undrafted free agent pool, that's where you get Inez Cooper. Am I wrong, Justin? You don't have to spend a draft pick on Inez Cooper.
Yeah, I mean, late day three sort of UDFA vibes on Inez Cooper. I agree. But very good point there on the question from Jake, because, you know, they brought in Xavier Restrepo last year. They love bringing in guys that make Cam comfortable. There's going to be competition for spots on this O-line. Why not? Right? Like, there's going to be competition on the interior. I know they gave Cordell Volson some money, but I don't think he should be like a surefire, you know, roster guy. So I'm always into competition. I think Inez Cooper would bring some familiarity and some competition as well.
Hershey Fareva points out Cam's center at Miami, James Brockmeyer, did come in on a 30 visit with the Titans.
Brockmeyer, I believe it is. Brockmeyer. It's a very long last name, but James Brockmeyer was one of the Titans' top 30 visits. Good point, Hershey. And we've got another reason.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
$9.99 super chat tip from KYBTP. Thank you very much for the generosity, my friend. He has got a question. Will the Titans address edge, O-line, and linebacker with free agents so we can all stop being so worried? Bobby Okereke, Joey Bosa, Kevin Zeitler would be great on one-year deals. Overpay if you have to, Borgonti. This is a great question. Titans still sitting with about $60 million roughly in cap space. Ton of money to do it. They could spend at least another $25-$30 million, I would say, roughly, if they wanted to. I don't think they're going to spend that much, but they have the flexibility to do so if they want to. Broken record, Kevin Zeitler, absolutely. I'm all for it. I can't see them bringing in Bosa. When it comes to Okereke, obviously he's got a ton of connections to this coaching staff. I thought it would have happened already by now if it was going to happen. They brought in, who was it? They brought in Mo Diabate in free agency at linebacker during that second wave. So I wonder if they're done at linebacker and even edge in free agency, but I really hope they're open to doing something on the offensive line, like re-signing Kevin Zeitler.
I agree with you. I do think there's a chance that they get into, you know, OTAs in May, late May, early June, and they look around, they're like, you know what, we could use Bobby. Give him a call, Brian. You coached him. Right. Like, let's go get this guy. Or I agree with you wholeheartedly on Bosa. I just don't see how that's a fit in terms of his status, the age of this roster, the rebuilding mindset they've taken, and the fact that they're simply not going to be that competitive this year. And this ultimately, Justin, like, part of this influences my team building philosophy, where I don't really want the Titans to take an edge at four unless Arvell Reese falls to them, is because, yeah, I know that people say, oh, you can't really get a young, productive edge rusher in free agency. They never hit the market. And that might be true. You can say that running backs hit the market every year, and that also might be true. You look at Kenneth Walker, you look at Josh Jacobs changing teams, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, all these guys. But the thing to me that stands out that nobody ever talks about is that what I call mercenary veteran edge rushers hit the market and sign 1 or 2 year deals every single year. Now, are these guys top of the league at their position? No, but they can be impactful guys. I mean, the Rams went out and signed Von Miller, and he was the cherry on top piece that took them to a Super Bowl, right? And we've seen the Bills try this with back-to-back years with Von Miller and with Joey Bosa, who, you know, they've had trouble with these guys. Like, they don't always stay healthy. Clowney has been a guy that's bounced all over the league doing this kind of thing. I remember when the Titans signed Cameron Wake. Like, that kind of guy, accomplished pass rusher, who's not necessarily going to command a double team on every snap, but who's going to help pressure the quarterback and help beef up your unit. Like, that, those guys hit the market every year. And maybe that's not, like, the way you want to solidify that position, a premium position for the long haul. But if the Titans find themselves ahead of schedule next year, that, go sign one of those guys and then draft an edge that you can bring along more slowly, or draft one in the second or third round this year. That's why I'm like, if they don't take the edge at four this year, I'm not sweating it from a team-building perspective, because as much as everyone wants to say running backs are easy to find, like, so is edge rusher when you're talking about a one-year contributor.
Yeah, you could find late, you know, you could find help. Obviously, it's, I wouldn't compare the two. I mean, you could find, I mean, they, the guy that was, why is it escaping me now? The guy they signed last year that they did not re-sign, D lineman. Jahad Ward. Like, they signed Jahad Ward late, and he came in and was a big, big help after the unexpected Lorenzo Carter retirement. You could find those types, you know, veteran early down edge setters. Find a true difference maker as a pass rusher is pretty difficult. Rayskull, you said Draymond Jones. I was talking about Jahad Ward because he was the late wave signing that I was referring to. And Graver, hit my favorite sound bite.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Super generous $5 super chat tip here from Wampoo5. Keep the super chats rolling to fund a bungalow for two in beautiful Sedona. You might find a couple more super chats. Me and Graver are going to be holding hands on the rooftop with paparazzi taking a picture from nearby. Any word on extensions for Large, Jeffrey, or Peter Skoronski? Great question. I imagine those are priorities for the offseason. I think, you know, they're full-blown NFL draft right now in terms of where the focus is. But I do think you revisit, you know, these talks, the Jeffrey Simmons and Peter Skoronski extension talks, maybe in somewhere between May and July, maybe no later than August. I do think that is on Mike Borgonzi's summer to-do list. Really good question, Wampu. We should see extensions for both players at training camp this offseason. Thanks again for the tip.
All right, we will get to the mock draft part of this show eventually, but we will also continue answering Super Chats, as many as that come in. We will
hit
them.
Oh my goodness gracious.
This one from William Fortner, $10 Super Chat. With the report that teams see Eli Stowers as a wide receiver, do you agree? It's an interesting question. I don't necessarily agree or disagree. I do think that he struggles to block, that he functions as a sort of a weapon in the passing game, a lot of yards after catch, sort of manufactured touch stuff even. An interesting player. I don't know that he necessarily would be. I mean, the Titans had him into Nashville. Counts as a local visit, right? So it doesn't have to count against their 30s. The Vanderbilt player. I don't know. The Titans are doing a lot more work on tight ends. That's something I wanted to touch on when we start this mock exercise, Justin, is you mentioned Sam Ruch at the local day. There's another tight end that they were bringing in.
Justin Jolly, the NC State tight end, I think was reported this morning by Aaron Wilson. I'm interviewing Justin Jolly tomorrow, so I'll ask him about that. That should be fun.
Yeah. And Eli Stowers, we know, was there too. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have expected them to take a tight end 3 weeks ago after they signed Daniel Bellinger. We like Gunnar Helm. Even David Martin Robinson functions fine to me as a tight end three. It's not like they're not looking. They are looking. So what do you think? Does Eli Stowers fit in Brian Daboll's offense? Like, Brian Daboll doesn't use that kind of a tight end weapon. I don't know.
I think you saying that he struggles to block is probably putting it very lightly and generously. I think he's borderline useless as a block. I mean, he used to play quarterback. He transitioned in college from quarterback to tight end because he's a big athlete, really intriguing pass catcher. No surprise that he can't block. He grew up a quarterback, literally. So I think it's very possible that he makes the full transition to wide receiver. I also think it's possible that he stays at tight end. And like, you know, like a Travis Kelce, they never ask him to actually block in line, right? Like, you just, so I think, you know, however you see him, he's a big pass catcher, a big athletic pass catcher.
Let's hit this $20 super chat. We are loving you guys today.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Joseph Soul Music, thank you for pronouncing Mowing Noah properly in yesterday's video. Got you, Joseph. We looked it up. We listened to it. We made sure we were doing it right because, you know, like Kyle Brandt says, you got to respect how people want their name pronounced. I think that is an important, you know, again, sign of respect. I wanted to hit this question too because I just looked up the sourcing on this because I was curious. JTurn314, apparently Tic Tac Titans thinks there's some smoke about Stephon Diggs signing here.
I actually DM'd Tic about this. I DM'd Tyler and he said that he saw it circulating around those like NFL rumors accounts that you really can't trust. But he also
I have the sourcing if you want me
to.
Okay,
yes. He told me that he heard it on a national podcast, but he couldn't remember where.
Here's the sourcing. This is not smoke. This is prediction guesswork. This is not anything that is in the works or even should be expected to be in the works. I think this is not going to happen. I'd be shocked if this happened. Greg Aumann, who I used to work with at Fox Sports, wrote a piece. He wrote a piece that was just predicting where free agents will land and wrote that Diggs, 32, is a four-time Pro Bowl receiver. His postseason lull contributed to him getting cut by the Patriots, only 4 touchdowns last year, so he might get back his Bills heyday. Only 4 touchdowns last year, so he might never get back his Bills heyday from 2020 to 2023. His next team might pay him half of what the Patriots did, but he can still be a solid number two receiver somewhere, and went on to predict that the Titans would sign him. Now, the Titans have signed a lot of guys that the coaching staff is familiar with. We know Stephon Diggs played for Brian Daboll. That's the only reason that I could possibly see this working. I mean, Diggs has a ton of off-field weird, like, personal life stuff going on.
Mike Borgonzi wants to... Mike Borgonzi locker room guy, does it?
Not even a little bit. So there is no actual smoke. There's no... Like, there's nothing real here. This is a prediction piece that turned into an aggregation that turned into smoke. This is like dry ice. There's no fire here. So there's no smoke, but maybe some like steam, but there's no smoke. Okay, Justin, I think we should get to what the, you know, we're 20 minutes in here. Haven't even looked at the mock draft simulator yet. So let me pull one up here. We're using A to Z again because their trade function, the functionality of the trading in their simulator is the best that I've come across. And I really appreciate the way that.
While you're pulling that up, I'm sorry, but two of our very loyal fans here, Kitty Cat Jones and Atlas, mentioned that they feel bad that they can't contribute to the Super Chats right now. Never feel that way. What we appreciate is you tuning in, liking the channel, subscribing to the channel, sending it to a friend. Please never feel like if you're in a financial position where you can't contribute a Super Chat tip, we don't think any way about it. You two are, you know, two of our top supporters. You guys are in every video, commenting, every stream, liking. So appreciate the heck out of your support. Never feel bad. We appreciate everyone who contributes Super Chat tips. But, certainly if you're not in a financial position, I never, ever want you to feel bad for that. Thank you for the support.
Yeah. And just like Jimmy Bobby says, everyone, please click like. We got over 100 people in this stream. If this video doesn't have over 100 likes, somebody's not doing it correctly. Okay, Justin, the mock draft machine here. I'll let you go first because I'm nice and I want to give you the floor. I'm just going to start this draft here. First three picks.
Am I trading back or am I?
This is up to you. Mock it the way you want it based on what happened above us. This is not an impossible situation. Like, I would not put this as the most likely situation, but Fernando Mendoza, number one. David Bailey, number two, where all the smoke is. Not just the smoke, Justin, the sports books now have David Bailey officially favored to be the number two pick. The Cardinals take Jeremiah Love. Is this a dream come true for you, Justin, with Arvel Reese sitting on the board?
I see Raiders on the clock. I don't see any of the picks. You know what? I can't see the Cardinals taking Jeremiah Love, but I'm okay with this scenario playing out here because I get to do something that I would love to do. I've got no choice here, okay? Jeremiah Love's not on the board, ladies and gentlemen. You can't get mad at me. I'm definitely going to take Arvel Reese here at number four, one of the best players in the draft. Dane Brugler's number one ranked player. I still think the sky's the limit for Arvel Reese, and I think the Titans would be thrilled. I would say Robert Saleh would pull a hamstring running the car to the podium, but he's in really good shape. He looks like he could run it to the podium, no problem, no questions asked. You and I, we might pull a hamstring if we were in that position, but not Robert Saleh. Arvel Reese at number four. As you're getting me to pick number 35, I think you might have to play the soundbite.
Oh my goodness gracious. Yeah. Before I get you to pick 35, I wanted an excuse to talk about this, so I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. But Inspector Callahan says, don't care about edge, love, or bust. MCA over anything Locked On puts out there. We appreciate you saying that. We can never say that about ourselves, but we appreciate that you feel that way. There's a lot of great Titans content out there. I'm not going to talk bad about any of it. Justin, Arvel Reese is the fourth highest player in terms of the sportsbook odds right now to be the fourth overall pick at 7-1 odds behind Jeremiah Love, who is back down to 1-1. There was a period where Jeremiah Love was minus odds. Then he moved to like plus 120, plus 150. David Bailey briefly overtook him as the favorite. David Bailey's now at plus 450, 4.5-1. Ruben Bain is next at 6-1. And then it's Arvel Reese, 7-1. Ahead of Sonny Styles, ahead of Carnell Tate, Francis Malinoa, Mansoor Delane, Jordan Tyson, Caleb Downs. That's the order. We talked about this a few episodes ago, and we put that whole betting spreadsheet together. We got bets from all our live chat audience. I have those tracked, by the way, in a spreadsheet, so we can revisit that. But I do think it's interesting that Arvel Reese is in the position he's in on the sportsbook odds because there is a chance that he falls. With all the smoke that David Bailey's getting to New York Jets, which is starting to feel like I'm going to buy that. Like, I'm starting to buy that that's where they're leading. And then you just have to wonder if the Cardinals would actually pass on Reese in that scenario. But before you make this pick officially, did you want to see what kind of trade offers Arvel Reese being on the board brings about for you?
I guess for the sake of fun, But I don't think the Titans would trade out of this pick if the scenario played out this way. I think they would stick and pick Arvel Reese, in all honesty. We're going to have some fun, going through the trade scenarios. But I think for this first one, I am going to reject all advances, like what they should have done on the rooftop in Sedona. I'm going to reject the advances, and I am going with Arvel Reese at number 4.
You do have a ton, basically everybody, almost over half the teams picking after the Titans between here and 14. Cleveland from 6 is offering pick 39. Kansas City is offering that 9-29 package that we love. Cincy's offering 10, an early second in 41, and a third rounder in 110. Dallas offering 12 and 20. Baltimore offering 4 picks to come up to number 4, a first rounder, a second rounder, a third rounder, and a fourth rounder. But you're declining all of these.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go all the way to 14, and we're having fun today. Like, I get that's a haul. I mean, they'd have a ton of picks in this draft and later. But for me, no, I'm going to reject them and go with Arvel Reese for now.
I agree. Just while we're talking about it, though, the idea of moving from 4 to 6 and picking up 39 in addition to 35.
Super appealing.
That might be more appealing to me than 9 and 29 or 12 and 20, just because you still get a top 6 pick.
Yeah, I mean, Reese would go 4, I'm sure, in that scenario. Maybe you get Carnell Tate at 6. The way I see it, you're guaranteed, well, you actually guaranteed a choice of 2 people between Style, right, Bain, and Tate, I would say, at
and
number 6.
Throw Downs in there. I mean, why not at that point? But yeah, I agree. All right, we're taking Arvel Reese. All right, enough chit-chat, enough chatter-chatter. I haven't been paying attention to the chat. Anything coming in there? Why would Cincy trade up, John asks. I mean, because there's a difference-making edge player there, and their defense is absolutely terrible. Let's hit a couple of these super chats while this draft board moves.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness gracious. I have no doubt Jimmy Bobby just wanted to hear the sound with a $1 chat and no message or comment attached to it. And oh my goodness gracious. User TJ7UE9ZW5X, thoughts on Vrabel and Russini's situation. Now, Justin, I don't think we were planning to talk about this ever. I'll quickly address it in the most middle neutral way I possibly can. First of all, I don't want to pry into anybody's personal life. There's no evidence or factual-based anything that there is anything happening beyond some hanging out outside of work hours. Does it look incredibly suspicious? Obviously.
They're holding hands in the photo, aren't they?
It looks like they're dancing. It looks like they're dancing on a rooftop. It's a still shot. You can never tell. I mean, if you've learned nothing from watching film, guys, you can never just judge any still shot and extrapolate that to what the situation. You can make anything look like anything in a still shot. Now, I feel for the families of these two people. I mean, we've heard a lot about like Jen Vrabel and Vrabel's a million kids. And we know Diana Russini's married. She's talked about her husband on air and on Twitter and social media like countless times. Those are the people that I feel for. It's up to them to figure it out. I don't want to say a whole lot else. I'm not going to go on. Like, I have nothing to gain by talking shit about a reporter, a national reporter. It is funny that there was always speculation that Diana Russini had some sort of in with the Titans when Vrabel was the head coach, because she was always breaking Titans news. I mean, we kind of suspected, I don't think we suspected this, but we suspected something untoward might have been going on. I'm not going to comment any further. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, you said a lot about it. You're more mature than I am. I think I'll leave it at that. I'm torn. I'm glad I'm going to say nothing, because I do feel for the families involved. I'll leave it there, because the Joker in me has about 1,000 different jokes in my mind, and they're going to stay up there. You've got to hit the thing.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Wow. A $19.99 super chat tip. Very generous from Taylor Jimeno. Please tell me how to pronounce it. I want you to leave another comment. No super chat tip attached to it, with the syllable breakdown of how to pronounce the last name, Taylor. Do it in the chat right now. Very, very, very generous super chat tip, $19.99. He's got the question. Given the 2026 cap available, the Titans be smart to sign Jeff and score to front-loaded extensions that use today's money to provide more cap flexibility down the line when Cam is due, or no due to time value of money? I do get the question, I believe. Graver, I mean, I'm kind of torn. I definitely think you've got to be responsible for when Cam is up. Although, you know, that's maybe a little premature. We all love Cam Ward and we fully believe in him. Might be a little premature, but we're confident they're going to have to sign him to a big extension one day. Oh, it's Jamino. Okay, I'm glad. I don't think that was on my scorecard. So Taylor Jamino, thank you so much for clarifying. We never want to pronounce a last name wrong. I'm torn on the question, though, Graver. What do you think? Like, I think you want to be responsible, but I don't know that you front-load him too much.
I think they're different contracts. I think Simmons gets backloaded in terms of, like, cap hits.
True. Good point.
Think about how, you know, this is most of the veteran contracts you see structured, like, the cap hit ascends year after year, right? And that's because players want to make more money and get raises, and you can, like, the cap's always going up and you can figure it out and move money around later on. But I definitely think that, like, Simmons's cap hit, they'd want to kind of probably lower it for next year. I don't know if this year even matters anymore in terms of his cap hit, but I think it would increase. You know, it might be like $26 million this year, $30 million, $38 million, $47 million or something. And then he never plays the fourth year and they restructure if he's still in great shape and they want him to be a Titan, or if it's time to move on from him, then that would happen. Skaronski, I could see going the other way. I don't think the cap hit's ever going to descend year after year, but I could see them like front loading some of the guaranteed money so that they take care of it now before, as this comment from Taylor points out, before Cam is due a big contract. If whoever they hit draft this year, if they hit on him, that player will be do a big contract in 3 years. So I do think that it would be smart to sort of balance this in a way where you're not necessarily front loading or back loading, like they're not treated the same way, so that they're not
good
stacking
point.
It up and compiling it.
And with Jeffrey being a few years older than Skaronski, you want to leave yourself an out probably at the end of that contract in case his play tails off at, say, you know, age 32 or whatever it is. I don't know that we're actually going to get to complete any mocks today.
I know.
But we're going to try.
Questions are crazy.
You want to answer this question from Dustin?
I got to answer this question from Dustin MG89. I've seen this on Twitter a few times. We've talked about it on the show a few times, but not everybody is able to watch or listen to every episode. We totally get that. So I'll say it again. Are you guys going to do a draft live stream? I wish. I really wish we could. Unfortunately, my full-time job is a bigger obligation than this podcast, unfortunately. And for Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler, of which I am the producer, we will be doing our own round one live stream, which means I won't be able to do two live streams at once, unfortunately. I will be reacting on that show to the Titans pick at number 4. So we won't have Justin Mello there, but if you're curious about my thoughts, at least immediate thoughts as soon as the pick is made, tune in to Heed the Call during the draft and check it out. Justin and I will be back with our typical Friday morning live stream the Friday, two weeks from today, right after round, that will be our round one reaction. We'll do it live for you guys. It just won't be live during the draft.
We're also planning to go live the day of round one, Thursday in the morning, I believe. So that, but we'll have some time there to, you know, have some last minute talk, draft discussions with you guys Thursday morning. So there will be a Thursday morning live stream and a Friday morning live stream as well. And yes, Heed the Call is on YouTube. For that latest question there. I thought I had something to say, but maybe I didn't. Are we just getting back to the mock, I think?
Yeah, let's get back to the mock. I'll also just shout out Zach and Stoney's event in Franklin. Go to it. It's free.
Yeah,
it's having
a lot of fun.
I would do that if I was in Nashville and not working on draft night. Okay, Justin, you're on the clock. Pick 35. I'm looking at the wrong one again, aren't I?
You
goodness
are.
Gracious. Here you go. On the clock, pick 35.
Said, oh,
Denzel Boston.
Gracious. I can't believe he said it without the sound.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's kind of a thing, I guess. I didn't realize how much of a thing "oh my goodness gracious" was for me until you turn it into a drop and then everybody's hearing it over and over and over again. Justin, Denzel Boston on the board, Max Ehinatoor on the board, Chase Besantis, Chris Bell. We had a question earlier in the chat about Chris Bell as a possible option at 35. Do you want to know what offers you're getting for this pick?
I think I'm going to do the no trade version for my first. I don't even know if I'm going to do a second at this rate, but right. You know where I'm going. I love Denzel Boston. I can't pass him up. I'm just a big, big fan. Think they need that type of big physical X receiver on the outside. It's a no-brainer for me. Denzel Boston, big weapon for Cam Ward, physical. Fills a role on the team I think that they don't currently have, unless you're a big Elik Iomanner guy. I'm kind of wait and see mode with Alec Iomanner, but I really like Denzel, so easy choice for me there.
I think Boston fits into a small group of players that to me are like, if this player falls to 35, you don't really consider trading back. You go take the last of a small crop of first round level players that might fall to you at 35. I'd put all three of those receivers that we keep talking about in that bucket: Casey Concepcion, Denzel Boston, Omar Cooper Jr. I don't know what other players that would really fit into that bucket for me, actually, outside of those three guys. Is there anyone else that could fall that's projected first round that you would not, that you would say, if they're there at 35, I'm sprinting to the podium, screw your trade offer?
Realistically, I don't know. I think Denzel Boston is top of my list, because there's no like late first round edge that really excites me. I'm not going to say that about a guard falling to 35. I think they should be there at 35, right? If they're not, then so be it. Someone took a guard at 28. I'm not going to cry over that. I really don't think there's anyone else. You know, I mean, I know there's a lot of Casey Concepcion fans. We kind of discussed on yesterday's show, I don't love his fit in this room. I think they've got a lot of, you know, smaller receivers. Good shout by Dalen. I think Omar Cooper would be the other one. And we actually mentioned that. Omar Cooper would be the one for me that I think fits in that bucket. I don't think Cooper's going to get there, but he'd fit that bucket.
Yeah, it's all receivers, right? Anyone else is like, you just, if there's another position group, there's other tackles, there's other guards, there's other edges, there's other corners that we like.
D-Good, put your earmuffs on. We've got to hit the sound.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I just want to hear the sound, says Dustin MG89. Appreciate your involvement with the live chat. MCA is the number one Titans pod, and it isn't even close. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I agree with that assessment. I don't know. Maybe I got a little bias built into that evaluation, but I agree with the assessment, Dustin. Thank you so much for the super chat tip. Are we certain? No, we're not certain at all, Nick. Is that Nick Fuchs? I'm going to, you know what I want, how I want to pronounce the last name, but I'm going to take the mature route and say it's Nick Fuchs. But I think Nick, you know what is the real pronunciation of the last name. No, we're not certain at all. I think there's a ton of tackles that might be worth it at 35. Max Ehinachor would be one of them. Blake Miller, Caleb Lamu from Utah. There are a lot of tackles that I think the Titans would have to consider if they're on the board.
But is this like, you're sprinting to the podium because this guy fell to 35 versus consider, or maybe we trade back?
For
like,
me,
is Blake Miller in that category?
Yeah, for me, no, because I think I kind of like, they're all kind of blended. Like, I like all of those tackles that I just rounded off. The Titans might feel very strongly about one of them. Usually when you're in scouting, you feel strongly about one of them as opposed to the other. So I think, you know, really good crop of late first round tackles. And if one of them is there at 35, then I think they will consider it based on Dan Moore's contract situation.
All right, Justin, back to you with pick number 66. You're probably not taking Jeremy Bernard because you have Denzel Boston. You're probably not taking Malachi Lawrence because you have Arvell Reese. Is there another player or position?
You got to tell me the linemen. Take me to the guards.
Here's tackles and guards.
You know where I'm going. You could make the pick for me. He's probably not, you know, there's some rumors he's not going to be on the board at 66, but I own the majority of stocks. I was the original stockholder back in January. The price has gone up and I'm still not selling my stocks in Keelan Rutledge. I got a hell of a bargain on him back in January when I was trying to wake people up to the Georgia Tech guard. Huge, huge fan. Starting to get some first round buzz. I do think that's maybe a little crazy, but I love Keelan Rutledge. He's plug and play.
All right, so we will ignore that Kyle Lewis is on the board and take your draft crush, Keelan Rutledge. Moving along, let's speed this up a little bit, Justin.
Well, I think you did a three-round mock, so I think you're forgetting. I think that'll be the end of the mock, will it not?
No, this is a seven-round mock. If you want me to hit restart, I can, but I didn't want us to be restricted like we were the last time we did an exercise like this.
So I think you should start yours. We're 40 minutes in. I think you should do yours. I also think you're probably going to play around with some trades compared to what I did. So I think it'd make a lot of sense to get a Justin Graver mock.
right after this break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Audio audience, welcome back. We are continuing with the mock draft scenarios now as I begin my first go at this thing. Let's see if my... Well, Justin, this is karmic retribution. Maybe this is what the people really want at the end of the day, because this... top of this draft has gone Fernando Mendoza 1, Jeremiah Love 2, David Bailey 3. I'd love to take Arvel Reese here just for the sake of also taking Arvel Reese, but you just did that. And we want to give the people all the scenarios, not just one scenario. I'm going to take a trade back. I want to see what I can get if I move off of this pick. Is it worth it to go? I could go from 4 to 6 and pick up 39. I could go from 4 to 8. Pick up 42 and also pick up 132. Is that extra? What is that? A fourth round pick? Is that extra fourth round pick worth it? Or is that a fifth? I think that's a fourth round pick. I could also move to 10 for 41 and 110. And there is the Cowboys trade 12 and 20. You know what, Justin? The Cowboys trade of 12 and 20 isn't one that I necessarily like better than the others on this list. But we want to explore this as an option, as a possibility, as a potential way, as a thing that could happen. And we didn't play with this scenario earlier when we did the every trade scenario. So I'm going to accept the Cowboys trade here because I want those two first-round picks. Jeremiah Love's already off the board, so the guy I really wanted here isn't even here, which makes me more comfortable moving all the way back to 12. And getting that second first-round pick this year is massive, so I will accept the Cowboys trade. Cowboys came up for Sonny Styles. Wow.
Wow. Well, their linebacker play is pretty terrible, so.
Yeah. All right, here we go. We missed on Sonny Styles. Giants took Tate. Reese fell to the Browns. I thought the Cowboys were coming up for Reese. Another trade in the top 10 here. Automated AI simulated trade here. Mansoor Delane gone. Jermaine McCoy, who there's been a lot of buzz building about. Jermaine McCoy going top 10, potentially even being the first cornerback drafted. Francis Malnoa fell all the way to pick 9. Mekhi Lemon off the board at pick 10. Reuben Bain, we were one pick away from still getting Reuben Bain, Justin. But I think at this point, I have got to take the player staring me in the face, the best player left on the board, by far a blue chip prospect. If this played itself out, I would not be mad at all. I'm taking Caleb Downs with this 12th overall pick here.
One of the best players in the draft. I mean, you moved back, you picked up extra picks, and you still got one of the best players.
And the chat agrees. The chat's yelling at me. You have to take Caleb Downs. Jordan Tyson off the board. Vega Ayone. Are we doing that wrong again still? Off the board. KC Concepcion just missed on KC Concepcion. Here we are, pick 20. And there are some tackle prospects. Avion Terrell is falling after running a terrible 40. But I have got to scroll down a little bit because this is pretty much the only option for me. Yeah, Caleb Lomu is interesting. Yeah, Monroe Freeling is interesting as a developmental prospect who hasn't played a ton of football. I got to take Omar Cooper, Justin. There's no debate in my mind here. We got to help Cam Ward and get the best receiver left on the board.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. You're getting a really good player there. Can't complain one bit. I love Omar Cooper Jr. Look at you. This is what I could, so far you've gotten Caleb Downs and Omar Cooper Jr.
That's right.
That is, wow. What a mock. What a mock, ladies and gentlemen. I think Graver's winning this round.
And I can look at what other offers I have here. So I can move back two spots and pick up 145, or I can move back four spots, pick up 107. That's vastly different. Six spots for 110 is worse than that. Eight spots for 94. I like getting a pick in the 90s. I like getting a pick in the 90s. I'm going to take that one. I'm moving back to 43, Justin. Just missed a Hinachor. Pons.
Can you imagine?
Besantis gone. Missed out on some guys that I would have taken. But one guy that I was hoping would make it, made it. It's Emmanuel Pregnon. We are beefing up the interior of this offensive line. We're protecting Cam Ward. Got him a receiver who can line up inside or out. And now we get him his starting right guard of the future.
Love that. Emmanuel Pregnon, I think, is plug and play at right guard. Generates so much movement. He's so powerful in the run game. I am a big, big fan of the player. I think, again, plug and play, overwhelms defenders at the point of attack, moves them out of their gap, creates rushing lanes for, I guess, not Jeremiah Love in this situation, but for Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. As the commenters are mentioning, geez, no edge in Graver's mouth. Graver hates the edge position. He thinks it's the most least valuable position in all of pro sports. He told me that in the text message.
I said it at the top of the show. Like, who cares? Who cares? Are we really concerned with edge? I mean, give me a break. Who cares?
Who cares?
I'm serious. I'm serious when I say that you can find a... What?
Who cares about the second most... maybe the second most important position on an NFL roster?
I mean, according to who? Like, I just watched the Seahawks win a Super Bowl with an overwhelming defensive line full of, like, guys who can get after the quarterback, but nobody that's, like, a dominant premier edge rusher at this stage of their career. Obviously, DeMarcus Lawrence was once upon a time. But a bunch of guys who can do it. I just talked about how you can find a veteran edge rusher who can, like, give you that extra little bit you need every single year and hope that they stay healthy. It's just overrated. It's overrated. Who cares? Who cares? I'm seriously so over this. Like, I really don't care. And I'm about to draft another player. So here, we got Caleb Downs added to the defense already. And the next player that I'm adding to this defense is a guy who I think can be green dot, middle of the field, insanely athletic. The change of direction ability on this player exhibited at the combine. Give me Jacob Rodriguez. This is the linebacker Robert Saleh needs to add to his defense. We don't need to spend a top five pick on Sonny Styles if we can get Jacob Rodriguez at 66.
260 tackles over his last two seasons at Texas Tech. Really smart, instinctual, physical, violent downhill linebacker. Better athlete than given credit for. I think there was questions there, but he proved it at the combine. Like you said, the change of direction, all the testing drill results, really good linebacker prospect.
Man, I kind of regret doing that now. I should have taken Malachi Lawrence because I could have taken Kyle Lewis right here. But I think Jacob Rodriguez is going to be a great linebacker.
Wait, you don't like edge rushers. You hate edge rusher. What do you mean you should have taken Malachi Lawrence?
I'm looking at the edge rushers now, and it doesn't seem to be any value in taking one here.
Wow, it's wild that edge rushers fly off the board. Who would have guessed? I thought it was a useless position.
You know, because of my trades, I am picking again in seven picks, which is kind of nice here. I was thinking, like, do I need to reach for Sam Roosh at this spot? This is my second third-round pick, and it's my fifth pick so far in this draft. I got to say, I really like the idea of trading back. You can, like, throw some surplus picks around in this scenario. Ooh, Malik Muhammad on the board. You know, I like my Texas boys. Mike Washington Jr., if the Titans do want to add a
running back. And Darian Price, the second and third best running backs. If you didn't get Love, you know, I think that's maybe tempting. I can't imagine the Titans will take Price or Washington. Sorry, I apologize.
Doesn't mute his phone during a live stream, folks. Call him out. Call him out for that. I am taking Price here. Why not? Bang. Done. It's happened.
I'm a big Jadarian Price guy. I think he's really, really good. I mean, imagine he went somewhere else and wasn't backing up Jeremiah Love. I mean, he still got a lot of carries, and he was super effective and efficient with those touches. But imagine he was a true number one somewhere else. I mean, the numbers would be even better.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, Justin, guess what? We're going back to you now. because I've caught up to you. So here you are on the board. Refresher for the folks who don't have the luxury of seeing this on their screens. You took Arvel Reese, number 4, Denzel Boston, 35, and Keelan Rutledge, 66. No trades. You got Logan Jones sitting there, 107. Oh, I'm still looking at tackles and interior linemen. Here we go. Let's look at everybody. Oh, you also have the chance to potentially draft Mike Washington, Malik Muhammad. Where's your eye going?
I'd love to see linebackers or corners or safeties.
Linebackers, corners, safeties, let's throw them all up there.
Ooh, boy, this is tough. I think I'm going to go with a bit of a surprise here. I'm going best player available type of scenario. I really like Chandler Rivers out of Duke. Nickel corner, who I think would compete for that role right away. We're expecting Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott to start outside. I don't think it's, you know, they shouldn't just hand Marcus Harris the nickel job, I don't think, without competition. Sixth-round rookie who didn't play a ton. I really like Chandler Rivers. I would go with a three- or four-year starter, by the way. He's played a lot of football, a lot of ball production, super competitive at nickel. I really like Chandler Rivers.
Chandler Rivers, pick made. I've been seeing people talk about, I can't remember who I saw. This was either Drew Beatty or James Foster or somebody that does all the Twitter breakdown stuff, saying that they don't understand why Chandler Rivers is being stereotyped into a nickel role just because he's a little smaller. He says when he watches the tape, like, this guy can hang on the outside, maybe not full time, but in a pinch, in a different look, you know, inverted cover 4 or something, or you throw the slot defender back to a deep zone. I don't know, but they're saying that he's not necessarily only a nickel, even if that's his primary spot.
Is this me here up again here?
Yeah, back up 142 here. Oscar Delp, top of the board, according to this simulator. You could grab, you could go a lot of directions here.
I think I'm going to double dip at offensive line and go with Billy Shrouth, the guard out of Notre Dame. Titans obviously have multiple holes, guard and center. Remember, we've heard some smoke that Keelan Rutledge might be able to snap. So perhaps, you know, in this scenario, I would look at him at center, and I would look at this pick as adding a future starting right guard. Still re-sign Kevin Zeitler, but I'm getting another potential starter here.
And you're getting another pick. Two picks later, here you are back on the clock, Justin.
Yeah, you're going to take me over to either safety or linebacker, two of the positions I believe I have not taken here. Oh, I got to go VJ Payne. I am such a big VJ Payne guy. Kansas State, really big physical center, durable. I think 42 games he started at Kansas State, tested out of this world at the combine, really impressed at his size, and was outstanding at the senior poll. I'm a huge VJ Payne fan. He's probably my favorite late round safety in this class.
I feel for Atlas right now, Justin. Atlas.
Taco
committed.
Bell forgot the avocado ranch? How dare they, Atlas? I think that's outrageous, although I haven't had Taco Bell in a while. With sparing you most of the details, if I eat Taco Bell, I might as well do it in the men's room because it won't be long before I make my way there at some point. So no Taco Bell for me. I love food, but I got a sensitive stomach. Taco Bell's no-fly zone for Justin Mello.
Justin, you have 3 picks left to make here. Where are you going with pick 184 in the 6th round? TJ Hall is on the board.
I can't
TJ
believe we do the full 7-round thing here when we're trying to get through mocks. Have I taken a linebacker? I have not. You take me to the linebackers. Ooh, you know what? I like Jimmy Rolder. I like Jimmy Rolder quite a bit. Michigan started this year for them, 1-year starter, led the team in tackles, 74 tackles. I'm going this off the top of the dome, ladies and gentlemen. The NFL draft knowledge is out of this world. I like Jimmy Rolder, man. I think he's a really intriguing late-round backer.
Overdrafting. You're reaching for need versus taking the best player available, Justin. That's okay. We won't hold it against you too much. Let's switch over back to my draft here because you called me out for not doing so. Okay, I have made 5 picks already, and round 4 is just beginning with this selection here. At 101, I've gone Caleb Downs at pick 12 after trading with the Dallas Cowboys. Omar Cooper Jr. at 20. Emmanuel Pregnon, 43. Jacob Rodriguez, 66. And Jadarian Price, who'd have thunk it? The guy with Jeremiah Love, no matter what, over his right shoulder, drafting the teammate of Jeremiah Love. Now I'm looking at who is on the board here. And Justin, one position I think that we may be overlooking a bit when we evaluate this draft class is the defensive tackle spot. AI wants me to take Daryl Jackson Jr., big interior defender with lots of size. That's an interesting idea. I also am biased towards my school, the Texas Longhorns. I'm just looking at who's the best player on the board right now. And I really do think it could be Malik Muhammad at corner. I haven't taken a cornerback yet. I could also look at Logan Jones. Chandler Rivers also on the board for me here. Maybe Chandler Rivers is a better fit because I think that he is a better ideal nickel guy. Although Malik Muhammad could also be a little bit of a nickel guy. You know what? I'm going to take Chandler Rivers. I'm going to go against my bias. I know you already did this too, and we're supposed to be presenting different scenarios. But this is, to me, like a, just a truly just the best player available situation. We haven't taken a cornerback yet. I do like some of the other options on the board here. But to me, I got to take the best player on the board who's going to have an instant impact, potentially be a day one starter.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of the player. You know what you got to do, Graver? You got to hit the sound
bite. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Thank you so much, Wampu, for the $2 super chat tip. And Graver, I'm going to need you to explain this to me, okay? Porto snatching defeat. Does that mean, I always confuse this saying, were they lucky not to lose? Is that what he's saying, or were they lucky not to win?
Porto snatching defeat from the jaws of victory yesterday means that they were about to win and they did something that screwed it up.
Yes. Okay. I was about to get super mad and biased on the pod if I read it the wrong way. I cannot believe Porto tied that game yesterday. That own goal was outrageous. Very unlucky. I felt bad for the kid. I don't think it's the low light that people make it out to be. Just a really bad, you know, it is. It looked funny. If you're going to watch the replay, you're going to say, I can't believe that happened. Just bad miscommunication between defender and goalie. It was outrageous. Porto should have been up 3-0 when that happened. We are going to rue all those missed chances. We better go to England and win. I was so pissed at that result yesterday. I'm pissed all over again, C. Wagner, 1973. I could not believe Porto didn't win that game. I was so frustrated.
I have two players I'm stuck between here with my 142 pick. The good news is I do pick again two spots later, so maybe I can get both. I love Hezekiah Masses as a day three corner prospect. This feels like a classic Mike Borgonzi with the Chiefs era late cornerback pick who could, you know, blossom into a starter. Wouldn't need him to get on the field right away, but you love that he's physical, that press coverage player, the type of guy that Robert Saleh likes. It even in this little write-up even says cover three scheme specialist. I mean, we know that the Legion of Boom was all cover three. I don't know that Saleh is doing that as much on an every down basis now, but a guy that I think fits into the Titans defense at a position that isn't an immediate need, but could grow into a need. Also just looking at who's the best player available, Trey Zune, the Texas A&M tackle who could move to center. I took Emmanuel Pregnon, but I haven't taken another interior offensive lineman, haven't taken another center prospect. This guy is massive, has the kind of size that we know Carmen Brasillo and Brian Daboll like on that offensive line. To me, it's between these two players. I'm going to attempt to get both of them.
Well, you've got the picks to potentially do so. I really like Trey Zune. I think him making the move to center is a really, really good fit. And Atlas just cracked me. I just declined a call from my mother to continue watching this stream. She'll still be your mother when the stream ends. You can call her back then.
Mission accomplished, Justin. I did get both of those guys. So we're closing in on the end of this draft here. I don't know if we're going to have time to do another one each. Seems a little crazy at this point.
Yeah, I've got an appointment that I've got to make, and I've got three afternoon interviews to prepare for. Who am I interviewing this afternoon? Why don't we let you in on the fun? Two real deep sleepers, actually. You've probably never heard of Illinois State DB, Shadwell Nakuba. I've got quarterback Baron Moten. You guys are probably familiar with him. And the big one that I've got this afternoon is Georgia defensive tackle Christian Miller. Really excited about that. Graver, guess who I did this morning? I already forgot about it. I'm a busy man, ladies and gentlemen. I did Mike Washington Jr., the running back this morning that we talked about. And on Monday, I'm excited. I've got Bryce Lance on my schedule, the wide receiver out of North Dakota State. Some big interviews coming up in my world. Atlas asks me, how was Deshaun Stribling Mello? That was a fun one, Atlas. I had a lot of fun talking with Stribling. I actually got a great quote from him on Cam Ward that I didn't use in the piece because I don't know what to do with it, Graver. Like, Titans probably aren't going to draft him because one of 32, what are the chances, right? So I'm saving it in case they draft him. But then if they don't, then I'm not going to get to use it at all. But I got a really good quote from Stribling on Cam Ward. A lot of fun.
Justin, I am once again torn between a couple of players here as I try to determine who is the best player on the board. One thing that occurred to me, now I took Omar Cooper Jr., a guy that you can throw into the slot, a guy who's going to pick up yards after catch, physical after the catch, but who I also believe can win on the outside. I also took Jadarian Price, a guy that, you know, basically takes over Tajay Spears' role as the change of pace back and can also be used in motion and stuff like that. But I think Brian Daboll wants to have a gadget player, like a true gadget player that he can move all over the place, that he can put in motion, that he can run reverses and weird trick plays with. And I think one of these guys at the top of this board could be that guy. I'm curious to get your thoughts. First, you got Berrion Brown out of LSU, who has 4.28 40 speed. Pretty much the kind of guy I'm describing here, like a gadget player. You also have Tyron Montgomery here, who had a 19.43 miles per hour Senior Bowl speed. Another fast guy, maybe not quite as immediate explosion as a 4.28 guy, but do you have a pick here? I mean, this Tyron Montgomery was incredibly productive with over 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns at John Carroll,
he actually went to the D3. Senior Bowl for a D3 receiver and looked pretty good out there. So, sorry, you're asking me to take one of the – I mean, Berrion Brown has a lot of special – I mean, they don't need special teams. They got Chimere DK, but he was so good on special teams this year. Who are the other options that you want me to assess here?
It's these two. I'm taking one of these two guys.
Okay. I would go Berrion Brown, to be honest with you. I just think there's probably a higher floor, a bit of a safer pick. You've got to hit the thing because we've got a really, really good comment here as well.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Nathan Iske says, I'm a sound designer on the Battlefield video game. That's cool. If you guys ever need more sounds, I'd love to create some for you for free. This pod rocks. Wow, Nathan. Wow. I really appreciate that offer. You want to get hop in our DMs or something?
And we appreciate the super chat tip. That's really cool. Really cool of you, Nathan. Graver, we might have to take advantage of that if we could think of a real, real fun one.
Yeah, no doubt. Draft Nathan to the MCA team, says Dustin. Justin, this is going to be the last pick I make before I turn it back to you. I haven't taken an edge yet. We had some consternation about that in the chat. I'm going to take the guy who tied David Bailey for the NCAA sack lead in the sixth round. You want to take David Bailey at number 4 overall, or you can take a guy who was exactly as productive in the sixth round. I mean, give me a break. This is no question. I get it. He's a 26-year-old rookie. He's only 6'2", 247. Basically Harold Landry's body type and composition. Bring him in for third downs. Let him speed rush off the edge and see if, like, this is a dart throw. We're talking about the second pick, our second pick in the sixth round. Dart throw. I will dart throw this kind of dart all day, every day.
Yeah, I mean, listen. 14 sacks at Western Michigan this past year after failing to get on the field at Houston. I think this is a really intriguing pass rusher. He also went to the Senior Bowl and looked really good. I think that was important considering he's got, 1 year of production and, small school level. So for him to kind of go up there to Mobile and have the week that he had, I think certainly helped him out a little bit.
I didn't take a tight end. Should I take one?
I feel like the Titans are good at tight end. I don't think you necessarily need to. I feel like, this is the Gunnar Helm and Daniel Bellinger show. They also signed Kylan Granson in free agency. And remember, they bring back David Martin Robinson. So I think they can skip out on the tight end this year. But I really like the tight ends, especially some of the late round guys. So if you're just taking a flyer, I mean, it can't hurt.
If I'm taking a flyer, it's going to be on a defensive tackle, I think. But I also
Bryson Eason out of Tennessee. I think the Vol D lineman there is worth a late round pick personally.
Okay. Look, we traded back a lot We took a lot of interesting players, and ultimately, we dominated this draft. I mean, we have got some guys that are going to make this team great again, right? I mean, holy cow. Caleb Downs, number 12 overall. Omar Cooper Jr., 20 overall. Emmanuel Pregnon, Jacob Rodriguez, Jadarian Price, Chandler Rivers, Trey Zune, Hezekiah Masses, Berrion Brown, Ndamaye Tucker, and Bryson Eason. Justin, I think I got 8 starters in this draft class. Just give me executive of the year already. You want to finish up your draft?
Yeah, we'll finish mine, and then I'll answer the question about David Gusta. I don't know how to pronounce it, I'll be honest. I know the player, but out of Kentucky, was at Washington State previously, is a guy who I would say is a run defender first and foremost, not a lot of sack production. But, you know, they lost, obviously, to Vondre Sweat in the trade for Jermaine Johnson. If they want to draft a run stopper first and foremost, I wouldn't mind taking him out of Kentucky and saying, hey, he can play a couple snaps per game. Although I really don't think that's a big need in Robert Saleh's defense, in all honesty.
Yeah. You want to – sorry, I was just trying to make this bottom bar – this just nonsensical white bottom bar go away, but I can't do it quickly enough. So anyway, Justin, okay, you're on the clock. You've made a lot of picks. You got 2 left. Where are you going with your second to last selection?
I've got a receiver. I've got multiple. I've got a safety. I've got a corner. I got a line. Jeez, I feel like I've got everything. Maybe I might double down. No, maybe go. Maybe take me to interior lineman. Oh, you know what? No. I love John Michael Gillenborg, man. The tight end out of Wyoming. I think there's a lot more room to explore there. He's an elite athlete with a big frame. Doesn't block. Don't expect him to block. Maybe in space he's okay, but definitely not in line. But really intriguing, you know, man coverage, you know, route beater. So really excited about John Michael Gillenborg. I actually wrote an article this morning that's going live Monday on a bunch of sleepers at a bunch of offensive, at every offensive position, essentially. And I've got John Michael Gillenborg on that list. I'm really intrigued by this talent out of Wyoming.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, we talked about it early on in this stream, but maybe some people missed that joining late. The Titans are doing their homework on the on some of these tight ends. I cannot rule out the possibility that they draft a guy earlier than we expect. It's like the one position that could really surprise me that nobody's talking about. The other one is defensive tackle, which again, like, wouldn't be shocking at all to see the Titans spend a day 2 pick on a defensive tackle, even if we feel like that's not a position of need, because you don't draft for need. You draft best player available. And people get mad at it in the moment, and then you turn around, and like 4 years later, Jeffrey Simmons is the best defensive tackle in football. And I remember when he was the pick, it was pretty split opinion in the fan base at the time. Just saying, Tavondre Sweat, kind of similar, even though he's gone now. He did net you Jermaine Johnson, so ultimately, successful pick. Your last pick, Justin. Take a flyer. Where are you going?
You're going to take me to D tackles. I don't think I've taken an interior D lineman yet. So I could probably go there. Why don't I go with David Gusta after seeing the question from our buddy Ray School? Why not? I really like Ray School a lot. He's one of our top supporters here. So I'll go with David Gusta, the prospect that he asked me about earlier today.
Atlas is confirming that Vega Ayone is pronounced Ione, as that's how you pronounce Ione Street on his Amazon.
Isn't that what I said to you a couple days ago?
Yeah, but then we got a comment recently that was talking us through some of the pronunciations, and Ione was not how they wrote Vega's last name. It was like Ione or something similar to that. You got to be... We have a Kentucky Wildcat supporter here. Go Cats. My parents went to Kentucky. Go Cats, baby. Go Big Blue. Here's your final draft, Justin. Arvel Reese, number 4 overall. What a coup you pulled off getting him. Denzel Boston, 35th. Keelan Rutledge, 66th. 6th. Chandler Rivers, 101. Billy Shrouth at 142. VJ Payne at 144. Jimmy Rolder. You overdrafted Jimmy Rolder. Let's be real, Justin. You probably interviewed him. You probably really like him as a person. And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to draft this guy to my fake team. Is that what happened?
I don't like what you just said. So what I'm going to respond with is I have no comment. And my lawyers are working vigorously around the clock to deny these allegations.
Fair enough. And then you got John Michael Gillenborg and David Gusta out of Kentucky. Hey, great draft, Justin. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got 7 starters here. If we give me 8, I'll give you 7. I mean, obviously, that's the best case scenario. But this is a pretty good draft. I mean, for a no-trade version, I think this is cool. We have the no-trade version.
Andre says Melo's not as good. Listen, Graver traded down, added a bunch of picks. Of course, your draft is better when he's got more picks. But hey, let me just say.
Ayone. See? Ayone. Vega, Ayone. Ayone. I don't know what that is.
Joseph Soul Music, our buddy here, who is actually Polynesian. He would know better than anyone else, and he put it up in the chat just now.
Which one?
Joseph Soul Music.
Ayone. Ayone. I like that. Ayone. You know what? Titans aren't going to pick him, so we're never going to have to worry about how to pronounce his name. But yeah, so this is my draft with lots of trades. Your draft with no trades. Interesting how neither one of us took Jeremiah Love. I mean, neither of us had the chance to. Both of our scenarios.
He was off the board.
Pretty crazy. All right. What should we do? Anything else? I mean, you guys got any more questions? Been here 70 minutes. We could call this thing. We could say it's over. I don't see any questions.
I should probably run. We've been on here for 70 minutes. I've got 3 interviews coming up. I've got an appointment I've got to get to. 70 minutes. Listen, I think that's going to do it for today's live stream of the Music City Audible podcast. Appreciate the heck out of you guys. You guys came through with the questions. You guys came through with the super chat tips. You came through with the interaction. We hope this was a very informative episode of MCA. Have a great weekend, gents. As Wampoo5 says, I would like Melo's opinion on Singleton. Is that the running back you're asking about, Atlas? I assume, is that the running back?
While we wait for Alice to answer, I will say, remember to subscribe to the channel, like this video, comment on the video after the stream ends. I think you can leave a comment while the stream is live, but not if you're watching on mobile. I'm not 100% sure about that. Comment on the actual video itself. The best thing you can do to support this channel, aside from the super chats where you get to hear the new sound drop, is to subscribe. If you're already subscribed, the next best thing you can do is comment, comment, comment on every video and send the link to as many people as you can. Where were we at with Atlas? Did he get back to you?
He said yes. He said yes. I'll keep it short. I'm intrigued by both of those Penn State running backs. I'd be surprised if any of them was better than RB3 in year one. Does any of them get drafted higher than the 5th round? I don't think so. I mean, I like all the typical. I like Jonah Coleman better than both of them. I like Emmett Johnson better than both of them. I'm really intrigued by Adam Randall out of Clemson. He might be my favorite day 3 back. And I also like Damon Claiborne out of Wake Forest as well. So the Penn State backs are a bit down my board. And before we get out of here, we got one more drop to hit.
Oh my goodness gracious. Courtesy of Joseph Soul Music, who comments one last drop. All right, that'll do it for this one. We'll be back on Monday as we continue to manufacture draft-related content leading up to the final countdown. 13 days, but on Monday, it's only going to be 9 days. 10 days? How does math work? It's going to be 9 days on Monday.
I don't know. Maybe with all these super chats, we could get one of us a tutor. Maybe we could figure that out.
It doesn't make sense in my brain, but that's what it is. All right, until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.